I think we have had quite an amazing week. I think with the political and the economical situations, and I think many people are stressing out and concerned and worried and all these kind of things taking place. But also in the body of Christ, the reality in the body of Christ is that very often we get caught up with all what's taking place because we have not really understood certain truths in Christ Jesus. And what God is helping us is leading us on how to pray before things happen. And that is why when we look back over the past couple of weeks, for instance, the prayer that we looked at last Sunday and the previous Sunday in John 15, where we saw in that prayer item, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. So yeah, you see the condition, trusting in him, God fills us with all joy and peace, so that, and this is the reason, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when the world is in chaos, we as the body of Christ, it's like a foundation for us to really display the glory of God in our lives and through our lives. And so all the time as we go on in life and things get dark, whatever we want to use the terminology, we know that it's a place for us to shine. It's a place for us to thrive. It's a place for us to really reveal that we are truly the disciples of Jesus Christ. And so it's always good news for us, and it's an opportunity to be involved in the ministry. It doesn't exempt us from the realities of decisions that are being made, but we have a power of the Holy Spirit within us that enables us to be able to really shine. We also prayed that prayer as well in verse 5. The God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourself as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and one mouth you may glorify the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So once again, this is a prayer that we've been praying. So when things take place, you can see how we listen to the Holy Spirit. We are responding. We are praying for the body of Christ in the nation, so that when all these things take in place, and it'll get worse, that we are rising up. We are encouraged by God. We are full of hope, full of peace, full of joy. And our words and our behavior and everything about our lives just shows that we are the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are the light in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore live as children of light, is what we've looked at many, many times. So we see how God has been working and in our lives. Now, we've been looking at some of the scriptures here in John chapter 15, and on a Wednesday evening we've been speaking a lot about the fruitfulness and this abiding in Christ Jesus, and what does that actually mean, and getting understanding of these things. And one of the things that Jesus speaks about that is necessary for us to understand is what does he mean when he speaks about understanding? What does he mean when he speaks about abiding, the understanding of abiding? So it's not just having the knowledge, but it's having the understanding of what it means to abide. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus, the understanding of being a disciple of Jesus? And we can pray many, many prayers. We can pray, God, thank you for your peace. We can read their scriptures, and we can have tremendous intellectual understanding of the scriptures. We can know the historical context. We can know the theology in it. We can know all of these things about the Word of God. But very often it remains more of an intellectual level, which for me it's like walking in water and only getting your soles of your feet wet. You feel that this water, So you feel a bit of the truth, but one has never really gone walking deeper into that truth and experiencing the fullness of that truth. And so in the understanding of truth, we move from just the intellectual soul walking on water, soul depth, and we start to really walk deeper and deeper. Jesus says that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, will guide you into all truth. And so we're in a place where we're realizing that He's showing us how to go deeper. We're getting understanding, but now how to truly get more understanding of the reality of that truth. So we live in the power of that truth. We live in the actual life of that truth. And only as we live in that life of that truth do we start to get understanding on how this truth sets free, how this truth brings joy, how we multiply, how does this truth multiply in our decision making and the way forwards. And that's what we speak about in the area of understanding. And in our John chapter 15, as we're looking at the whole truth of abiding in Christ and He in us and we'll bear much fruit, etc., it's crucial to go back to that parable that Jesus gives in Matthew 13 concerning the parable of the sower. Just as a backdrop here this morning to see something. Because in this parable of the sower, Jesus is speaking about people that are always hearing, but they never understand. And he continues, if you've got ears, hear what I'm saying to you. And he's speaking about sowing the seed, and he's speaking about the effect, the result of the seed that has been sown. And one of the things that he speaks about over here, because the disciples ask him the question, but why do you speak in parables? And Jesus says, I speak in parables because they're always hearing, but you understand. You understand these parables because these are the secrets of the kingdom, and you are able to understand them because you have believed in me, you have received me. You are a spiritual person. They still are not yet been born again by the Spirit. They're still not yet believing in me. So they aren't able to grasp, because the natural mind, these things that I'm saying to them is foolishness, but you are different because you believe in me, you have received me. I'm the word of life. You have received the living word. And then he goes on and he says over here, but blessed are your eyes because you see and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what they see, but did not see it, and hear what they hear, but did not hear it. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. So the purpose of this parable, one of the purposes of this parable, Jesus saying that the seed has an end result. The seed must bear fruit. The seed needs to be fruitful. So he's speaking about the word that was the seed, and the outcome must be the 30, the 60, the 100-fold fruitfulness. Seed is designed to bear fruit. And that's crucial to understand as we are beginning to move into knowing more and more how to be fruitful. What does it mean to be fruitful? So we hear that when our Lord Jesus, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and I, and we hear what He is saying, it's vital for us to get the understanding of that word, that particular truth that the Holy Spirit is sharing. It's vital for us to go beyond just the beginning phase of, oh, I understand, I hear, I grasp the theology, and all those kind of things, and to say, okay, Holy Spirit, you've shown me, you've given me, I want to go and I want to begin to really get a better understanding of what this is all about. And this is the journey. This is part of when Jesus says, if you remain in me, if you abide in me, and my word remains in you, you will bear much fruit. So here we see that the seed is designed to bear fruit. See, I'm not producing the fruit. You're not producing the fruit. I'm not striving to produce fruit. This is the powerful work of God Himself. This is His Word that's full of, well, it's alive, it's active. So when we receive the truth of Jesus Christ and we start to apply it, we start to take it in, we start to walk with it, the Holy Spirit in the understanding of this, knowing how to live in this truth, knowing how to apply this truth, we start to see the fruit of this Word. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we start to see that fruit. And that fruit, because it's the fruit of Jesus that's being displayed, so now the Father is glorified in that, because now we see, the Father sees the fruit of His Son, Jesus Christ, manifesting through His children. That brings glory to the Father. See, so we're not striving in our own effort to produce. This is a result of us receiving the seed and beginning to get the understanding so that the enemy doesn't snatch it from us. So when things take place, we crumble and moan and we speak just like the unsaved because we just heard the word. We say, that's fantastic. But we've never yet said, Lord, I want to go deeper than just getting my toes wet. I want to go ankle deep. I want to go knee deep. I want to go waist deep. I want to go right under into this truth because I want this truth that you've sown to me, one little truth. Just this one little truth. I want to see the full fruitfulness of that one little truth that you have now led me into. And that's the journey. That's the reality of what we're starting to speak about when it comes to abiding in Christ Jesus. So it's crucial, as Jesus speaks here in Matthew 13, for us not just to hear, but really for us now to be able to work with the Holy Spirit in getting a greater understanding of these things. So in John chapter 15, when we hear what our Lord Jesus is saying to the disciples, to you and I this morning, He's addressing many, many things over here, and we're just going to touch something. In verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, just over there, I think all of us have got a reasonable understanding of the theology of this. But when we start to go deeper, where Jesus says, I am the vine, I'm the true vine, that's important, that word, the true vine, because we can be connected to a lot of other things, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken. So they received the word of God. Jesus is not speaking here concerning salvation. He's speaking about fruitfulness. Okay, it's important. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then he carries on, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will. See, notice here, he will bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. And this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. And as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, then you will then remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. So just there, Jesus is describing something about what it means to remain in him. I obey my Father's commands, I remain in him. See, so we're starting to see something more than just fellowship. He's starting to see something more about the reality of this life union with our Lord Jesus Christ and allowing his life to really operate, to flow in through our lives. Paul says it a little bit different. Paul says over there that in Galatians chapter 5, and he says over there, guys, if you now move away from Christ and you go back into applying the law, you have removed yourself from grace. And Christ has got no value for you anymore. See, it's the same thing that Jesus is speaking about. And he's telling us how we can remain in him so this law of the Spirit of life continues to operate, to flood us, to empower us, to vitalize, to release that hope, to release that joy, so that the life of Christ is a tangible reality within us, which obviously will be extremely fruitful. So there's a lot here about what it means to remain in him. But let's carry on. I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this, to love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, and to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. So there's a lot in this. And I think it'll take quite a long time to really go deeper. But he's speaking about discipleship. He's speaking about fruitfulness. He's speaking about the Father's glory. He's sharing with us how it all works. And one of the things that is going to be a good way of thinking is to actually accept the fact that we are disciples of Jesus and that he's going to be teaching us and that we're going to be on a ongoing journey of learning how he lived, who he is, the Father, who the Holy Spirit is. So just that mindset, I know you guys want to get out of school and can't wait to get out of school, but we're in this incredible eternal class of our Lord Jesus. We are a disciple of his, and he is teaching us how he lived in relationship with his Father. He's teaching us how he remained in his Father and his Father remained in him. He's teaching us on how to be fruitful. He's teaching us on how to go about so that whatever, like he asked the Father, it was done. He's teaching us how, when we ask the Father, it will be done. He's discipling us in this. And this is why it goes beyond just the first level of intellectual kind of understanding of truth. Now we want to go and follow the Holy Spirit into more and more of what our Lord Jesus is teaching us, how he lived, so that we too can also begin to display even more fruit. All of us, every single believer is already displaying fruit because it's his life in us. Okay? All of us. We're not the same people that we were before we were saved. All of us are growing. All of us, if you read the fruit of the Spirit, if you read the reality of what love is in Corinthians, all of us are displaying fruit. But the Father prunes, because it's his joyous, glorious will for our lives to even become more fruitful. And that, so don't think you're not fruitful. Where you're working, where you are fruitful. We're just going into more fruitfulness right now, and that's where we are. So when we pray and we say, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done, then you know the Father says, I'm going to answer that prayer because my son told you to pray that prayer and it's in line with his will. I'm going to answer that prayer. But this goes through some pruning process. Now, I don't know about you, but some of you are good gardeners and you prune. And you look at that and you say, that plant looks dead by now. I've just pruned it and it doesn't look anything like it should be. It's just been pruned. And many times, that's what happens with us. The Father is pruning us, and we look at one another and we say, "Yo, how can you be a believer? Look at your life. I don't see any fruit." But you don't see fruit in a freshly pruned tree. There's a period before it produces again. And that's important for us to understand in our lives and amongst one another, that as the Father is pruning us, we may not look very nice, but it's necessary for our growth. It's necessary for our next phase in our period of time that we're living in there, where the Father's pruning us. So your spouse may not look very nice, okay? Just remember, sure, there's going to be fruit coming from this one. He's pruning. And we need to realize that. Sometimes when I go and I see what's happening in the trees, I say, that tree's going to die the way they've pruned it. But then suddenly after a while, it's leaves and it's growing. And it's like that with us as well. So as a church family, we're being pruned. And you might look and we say, it doesn't look very fruitful. It doesn't look like this is dying. But it's not. It's fruitful. We're being pruned so that we can become even more fruitful in this period of time. It'll take some time, but there will be fruit again. See, so don't look at the natural. We miss it. Look to see what the Father is doing. Know who we are in Christ Jesus. We know that we are a branch in Jesus. Know that our Father is the gardener. Know that He's pruning us because we've asked Him for us to become more fruitful as a family of God. We've asked Him these things and He answers us whatever we desire fruitfulness. We desire that. We've asked Him. And so He's answering our prayers. So don't panic. Okay. And you just look in the natural, see what the Father's doing, because He loves the people of our town and He loves the people of our nation. And it's important for us to display and to really the Word of God that He's saying into our lives to really produce so much more fruit. So it's a progress. You and I wake up in the morning knowing that it's not the end. We wake up in the morning knowing transformation is taking place in our lives all the time. We are being transformed more and more into His likeness. Okay, it's important just to have a different understanding of things in life. Now, here in John 15, Jesus is speaking so much about the growth. And He's speaking about the commands. He's speaking about obeying His Father. But He also speaks about the reality over here of us abiding in Him. See, the words I've spoken, so we've heard the seed has been sown. Us remaining in Him, and He remaining in us. And then He says over here, it must remain in you. Sorry, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Me. Now, in John 14, Jesus gives the example of Him and the Father in their life. And so Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus is speaking about fruitfulness shows that we are His disciples. So Jesus is now discipling us the way He showed the Father, that He is a son of the Father. Jesus is discipling, He's showing us, and He says over there, answering their questions, He said, "Philip," Jesus answered, "Don't you know Me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father." We're the body of Christ. We are the branch. We are the people that produce. We are the people that the life and who Christ is evidential through us. That's the fruit. So people can see the reality of the life of Christ within us. That needs a lot of pruning for more of that to be revealed in and through our lives. So he carries on and he says over here, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And then verse 10, so don't you believe that I'm in the Father? Jesus is showing us how he remained in the Father and the Father in him, abiding, dwelling, staying in the Father and the Father staying in him. And he says over here, the words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. This is why miracles are so important. Because it's a fruit of the life of Christ. It's a fruit of the victory of the cross. It's a fruit of his death and resurrection. It's a fruit of what he has done. Miracles are vital evidence of the reality of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says over here, I'll tell you the truth. Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Now that's crucial, because in that John chapter 15 verse 6 and 7 and 8, whatever you ask, whatever you desire, whatever you wish, ask, and it'll be given to you. It'll be done for you. It'll be done. I love that word. It'll be done for you. Who's doing it? It's really done for you. And Jesus is modeling and is saying over here, I'm asking, but my words is my Father's words. My desire is my Father's desire. So I'm asking in line with my Father's desire. That's what it means, that whatever we desire, because we are abiding in him. So the joy of now getting understanding of that word desire is, as we enter and we grow in this, the joy of you and I suddenly realizing, Lord, it's no longer just me, my self-centeredness, because I'm abiding in your love, and your love is selfless. Your love wants the best for all mankind. Your love is so different to my self-centered love. And I'm starting to realize, as we grow in this, we're starting to participate in the Father's desire for mankind, in our Father's desire for one another. Now, as we are free of our self-interest and our self-centeredness and all those kind of things, because we've taken hold of a truth that we died in Christ Jesus. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ. We've taken hold of that truth. It's not just intellectual knowledge. It's not just our foot just in the souls, our souls are getting wet in that truth. But we've stepped into that truth that I've died in Christ Jesus. I've died to who I was when I was still unsaved. That's no longer who I am. I've taken hold of that, and I've begun to explore that, and I begin to find the freedom in that incredible truth. I've begun to find the joy of God in that incredible truth. And as we grow in this truth, as we're abiding in this truth of concerning that I've died with Christ, all of a sudden we're starting to understand where the Spirit of God searches all things, even the very deep things of God. And it's the Spirit of God who speaks to you and I and shares with you and I these things of our Father, so that we have the mind of Christ. Exploring that, living in that joy, living in that reality of truth. Then we start to understand what that truth is all about. It's no longer just an intellectual understanding. It's a living understanding. It's alive. We're participating in this truth. It's, we're experiencing that very life of that truth. Okay. So that's why it's always a continuous growing process for you and I. That's why in this word here, when Jesus says, abide in me, it's not a once-off thing. This is a continuous abiding. I think every single day we've got to actually stop and say to ourselves, this one person once said, you've got to preach the gospel to yourself every day. You've got to really speak the good news to yourself. The good news, we don't start with, what must I do? We start off with what God has done for us. He is the one that called us. He is the one that put us into His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the one that fathered us. He is the one we in Christ Jesus. It's His life in us that's operating, producing the fruit. I'm walking in a love obedience to Him, yielded to the Holy Spirit. So that which He wills in us, Philippians 2:13, that which He wills in us by the Holy Spirit, I'm responding, I'm working it out there because I love Him. Jesus says, this is how I abide in my Father. I obey His commands and I remain in His love. Obedience is a very big part, and we'll look at that probably next Sunday rather, because there's so much victory in the reality of obedience. So Jesus carries on, and he says here in John chapter 14, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing His work, example of what it means to abide in the Father and the Father in Him, example of us abiding in Christ and Christ in us, and Christ doing the work through us. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and we responding because we love Him. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, would at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Every one of us who put our faith in Jesus will be doing what He's doing. Just that is powerful. Just that is a renewal of the mind that takes place. Just that, no more excuses. Just that, Lord, I'm not going to make an excuse that that's only for somebody, it's only for those, it's only for those and that. Just that, Lord, this is a truth. You planted a seed in me, and I'm going to get understanding. And I want to take this word, let it abide in me and remain in me so that I take hold of it. And so this truth will start to bear fruit. Imagine the body of Christ in our nation, walking in the fullness of this truth, more and more and more and more. So this is part of our journey. This is why we're being pruned right now, so that this, what Jesus says, will take place in a greater level of manifestation. I tell you the truth. He's not lying to you and I. Anyone who has faith, anyone, it's all the believers in me, will do what I've been doing, abiding in Him, the Father abiding in His Son, bearing much fruit. Likewise, He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And we can come with theology and try and describe as greater things, or we can simply say, Lord, I don't even want to put a description to this because I will put a limitation to what You're saying over here. But I take the seed and I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, let's go. I get an understanding from the mind and the creator of the universe of what this greater thing is all about. Because Jesus, You've paid the price on the cross. You've been raised from the dead. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to You. And I want us to be able to move and to understand that and live in the understanding of that truth. But it's up to us to respond or not. It's up to us to hear and to receive and get understanding or not. Otherwise, the parable of the sower, we find there when the trials come, we get a bit messed around. So we continue. And He carries on. I tell you the truth, He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever You ask in My name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask Me for anything in My name and I will do it. So there's an example of Jesus and His Father. And then in John 15, now the example, the exact same example with us and Him. Exact same thing. He's just showing us now, this is how I lived. Now, this is now as you've been born again. In a few verses back, I told you that when I'm leaving, I'm going to ask the Father, He's going to give You the Holy Spirit. I and the Father are going to come and dwell in you. Now, just as I lived with the Father and the Father in me, now you in me and I'm in you. Now we continue to bear fruit, bringing glory to our Father. Exact same reality. So Jesus is discipling us. He's spending time with us, sharing his journey, sharing the way he lived. Now with his Spirit and the miracle of being fathered by God, we too now can live as Jesus lived. Okay. So I think I'll stop over there this morning because there's so much more to carry on over here. But just as a starting point in growing, even just really being established in the truth of remaining, just begin to renew the mind. Just begin to continually realize that what has God done already through his Son Jesus Christ? What does it mean for me to be born again? I'm in you, Jesus, and this is about your life in me. You've given me the Holy Spirit. You've given us the Holy Spirit. It's the life, the law of the Spirit of life that's operating in me. It's your Spirit operating in me. Your Spirit is helping. Your Spirit is the fruitfulness in my life. And it's that simple accepting, receiving, and believing what Christ has done for you and I. That's an incredible starting point to be able to start to really remain. Otherwise, what takes place? We go out and not long before the world is telling us who we are, the world is shouting at us over there, and we forget that we are in Christ Jesus and what he has done. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, this world is going to be lots of troubles, but take heart. I have overcome this world. Just that. Just that. As we abide in the one who has overcome this world, take heart. See, there's so much that he has done for you and I and what it means to have died to the old and to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. There's so much incredible truth of what it means to abide in him, to be in him. There's so much over there. But the starting point is not what I must do or what about me. The starting point is what he has already done for you and I. And to really get established in that. And you start to see how more and more of this becomes so, so real. So we are released from striving to be fruitful. And we are enjoying the reality of what he has done in bringing us into his Son, and we're abiding in him, and we're learning how to remain in him, how to have a life union with him, and how to have a life union with his word within us. We're learning how to live in the reality of his life operating in us. Read the branch. His life is flowing in us. The Holy Spirit's life is flowing in us, and learning how to just yield to the Holy Spirit. Embrace the work of the Holy Spirit. Receive the work of the Holy Spirit. And we're starting to see more and more fruit in our lives. Freedom. Where the Spirit of God is Lord, there is freedom. That's why his commands are not burdensome. We'll get there. Okay. One of the reasons we have communion, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, not you. And we have in communion to remember that what he has done, and we are abiding in him, and his life is in us, and the Father's pruning us, and we are just in a journey of not looking too good at the moment, but South Africa, hier kom het ding. The prune church is arising. The prune church will be very, very fruitful shortly after we have got better understanding of the term abiding in him. So please come help yourself to communion, remembering him as we fellowship together. Yes. So Father, thank you again for the joy of us being able to be fathered by you. You often speak about you discipline those you love. And one of the wonderful things about your word, it's extremely sharp, snaring scissors, the pruning scissors. And we'll just embrace your word and thank you for it because we know that you're pruning. Many times when you prune us, it's like, no, you're invading my thoughts. You're invading my life. I don't like it. But it's necessary. So, Father, we yield to you and say thank you for pruning us. Thank you that you pour rain into our own parades sometimes. Thank you that you come and disrupt our lives. We honor you because you love us and you want the best for us and you love the world and you're wanting us to really just to live in the joy of obeying you, the freedom of obedience, the joy of obedience, the discovery of a deep, deep love in the reality of obeying you. And we want to be able to go into that now, Lord, and we thank you for that. So thank you, Jesus, for the joy of being in you and to be able to, through our lives, to see your fruit through our lives. Thank you that we can be so, so fruitful because it's about your life in us. And we want, Lord Jesus, we want people to see you. We want people to not come and say, tell us about the Father, show us God. They'll be able to look at us and they can see the evidence that we are your disciples, Jesus. And we thank you. Take us into a deeper understanding of what a disciple is. Lord, I'm asking that each one here will experience the joy, Jesus, of you sitting and discipling each one of us, teaching us. And let that relationship that you are our teacher and we are your disciple, let that become so tangible. Let it not just be an intellectual knowledge, but let it be a life experience of you sitting with us, discipling us. And we thank you that we can hear, we can respond, and we can appropriate what you're teaching us throughout our lives. Lord, I believe that what you are doing with us now is so crucial for the phase that we've just entered into. And I want to thank you. You know what's going to take place in South Africa. You know everything. You know what's going to be taking place worldwide. And we want to thank you that you are pruning us so that in that time we will shine. In that time you will be displayed. So we want to thank you. And so we receive the pruning and we honor you for this. Let your name be glorified through our lives and through your Son, Jesus Christ, living in us. Amen. Amen.